Under unfinished business, item number one, consideration of a request from Ron Purdom, doing business as Purdom Electric, to appeal the decision of the Macomb Historic Preservation Commission denying his request to cover his windows on his building at 113 Southside Square. This was discussed at last Monday night's Committee of the Whole meeting. Final action is in order.
Motion to deny the appeal.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to deny the appeal. Discussion. Alderman Hinderleiter.
Well, I understand we have a program, and after having read the program with a different light, I think it's entirely too subjective. I think you probably put 10 folks, sit down and read this thing, come away with 10 different interpretations. So we've had some discussion here in front of this body last week that at one time there was a wooden facade to that building. So why is it not appropriate? Now, it is now. I don't think changing the windows in this particular situation because of their condition is going to endanger anything in the historical society.
Thank you, Clay. Anyone else? Alderman Gilbert.
We have 20 buildings on the square that are empty. Maybe we should shoot for 22. You make it difficult for these people to open these buildings up. It's bad enough to get the money together for inventory, but to keep a building open, you're making it too difficult.
Thank you, Lou. Alderman Hanson.
Mr. Purdom, did you come up with a dollar figure? I stopped by and talked to you the other day at your shop, and you know, we talked a little bit about BTUs, which mean nothing to me, but did you come up with a dollar figure on how much it was costing? Yes, please.
Thanks, Ron.
In answer to your question, yes, I did. Arnold Brothers produced two printouts this week that said my heat loss is figuring good windows, not broken ones like they are now, but good windows is $23 a month, $276 a year, because it's, you know, it's not, doesn't cost a bundle to heat it, but it is $23. That's with good windows. Then they didn't have a way to calculate broken windows.
Thank you.
Alderman Hill.
I guess my question is, have you looked into the forgivable loan aspect of keeping with the historic nature of the building and take advantage of that program?
Well, what happens if I put new windows in and I pay for them, or the taxpayer pays for them and they break? Because Macomb Glass says they will break the frames, the glass. It's not a good situation for the longevity of the glass. So we put new glass in, whether I use city's money, taxpayer money, or my money, or everybody's in this room. And then a year later or 6 months later, we get a big wind and they're all broken. Or some of them, there's five are broke of seven.
I would think that there would surely be some kind of window that could have protection to keep them from breaking.
Well, we've examined spandrel glass. We've examined double pane, or not double, what do they call it, double strength glass. And they say both types will break. Have you looked, Kay, at the windows? I was going to give you a picture.
Yes, I have. I've seen the picture of them.
Okay. Mm-hmm. This year.
Right. I've been by your building. Okay, I'll keep it for you.
Okay. You can pass it around if you
like. Okay.
But, you know, if they're going to crack, it's just a waste of money. And I've talked to Becky Puma this afternoon or this morning, and she said, you know, if you replace them and they break and they're going to break again, the insurance company's not going to probably insure it. You have to maintain a, you know, a suitable building, and they're, you know, they're broken and been fixed and been repaired.
Anything else, Kay?
No, thank you. Right. Thank you, Ron.
Alderman Dorsett.
Mr. Purdom, what type of glass is up there currently? Is that single strength?
I have no idea.
Well, I'll share this with you. I got this from someone who had an interest in it. Those appear to be single-strength window glass. There's a link here with construction manuals that indicate single-strength window glass should never be used on openings larger than 40 by 50. Estimate is that your windows are probably 36 by 72. The odds are good that you should probably be using plate glass in there altogether, and you'd be free to take that so you have access to those links. You mentioned taxpayer money. There's one thing that I would like to bring up. This is TIF monies. TIF money is generated on your building and every building in the downtown. They froze that at a level back in probably the 80s, and then any increases in your taxes since that time have gone into the TIF funds. So you're getting, if you were to utilize this loan fund, forgivable loan fund, you're getting your money back. That's really what you're doing. You're not coming to us with your hat out. This is money that you've invested in the downtown over the years, and it's there to support the TIF district, the buildings in the TIF district. There's absolutely no reason you shouldn't be getting it back.
And I hate to waste taxpayer money.
Alderman Wynn, did you have your hand up, sir?
Yeah, I did have a comment I was going to make. While I'm not for going back and forth with rules, and evidently they made this downtown historic preservation rule and set up, and everybody was aware of it, I'm not exactly for telling businesses what they should or shouldn't do, but since the rule is in place, all I can do is follow it. It looks to me like... Are there any more buildings down there having problems with glass breakage?
If you look at that picture, the one to the east, which would be to the left, Carol Abstract, they just took that awning off Saturday. She's getting a new awning for the front, and it's behind it is OSB board covering up glass, I would imagine. I don't know. That picture was taken this morning. And there's glass there or wood or they covered it up or something. In other words, if you went back to that and said, well, I want to put glass in, she's got an awning. Would that be allowed or would you have to go back with an awning since the awning's been there? That's a question.
And then the other thing is that I don't want to get into an argument about heat loss and what can be heat loss, but I would think that there should be a way that you could put glass up there, put your covering up there, and then insulate behind it. So,
well, if you use regular glass and put insulation behind it, it's going to look like the devil. And if you use the spandrel glass, you cannot put anything in back of it, according to McComb Glass. I have a picture from, if I can find it. Showing the buildings on the south side of the square when it was wood.
Below the second floor windows. Looks like a wood canopy.
That came out of the WIU archives.
I'm sorry, Alderman Cook.
Well, as it was pointed out last week, it depends upon what time you want to look at as to what the downtown is going to look at. And what we have to deal with, is, I think, is what it, does it look like now and has looked like for at least going back to when the ordinance was established to try to maintain the downtown without changing its look. So you can pick and choose when you want your pictures taken, and you can change that to suit your feeling at that point in time, and I don't think we can do that.
Anyone else from the council? Mr. Purdom, you're there. Do you have any other?
I have some items of interest. Some of them would have to be answered by Ed, probably in in numbers crunching. There are, as I've stated before, many buildings around the square with windows covered up, plywood, for instance, in that picture. And that's current. There are 21 businesses, as I count, on the square or close by that are vacant. I'd like to see a list of the property owners who voted this in or said yes to it, because I believe that it was stated one time that there weren't many people that returned this thing, this letter. And that was stated, I think, more than once. Like how many properties, the question, how many properties are in the district, and how many property owners, how many numbers of property owners are there? If I own five properties, do I get five votes or do I get one? Because this same thing came up in 86 on the paving of the square. These condensed books with the ordinance in them, et cetera, who has them? Did the alderman have them, or do you have one?
These?
You don't have one? Okay. Okay, Purdom Electric has been in business since 1908 and at 113 Southside the Square since 1912. My family came here in 1832. That's seven generations of being a citizen, a taxpayer, and property owner. Contractors in Macomb and the area are, because of some things in the historical district, are shying away from even giving us a price on stuff. And that means from Burlington, Bushnell, Quincy. I think that's a problem. I think if I own the building, I should have the right to use it for my use and my purpose. I'm not going to make something that's going to be gaudy like a something that you wouldn't want up there on the front of a building, but nice shutters or nice moldings around three wall sections. I see nothing wrong with it. It would eliminate the glass breakage. It would eliminate the heat loss, or most of it. There'd be a heat loss. There always is on an outside wall. And the other thing, what other areas of buildings and property are impacted by this ordinance? In other words, meaning the ones in the district, are there other things in this package that Dave's got there that are going to influence windows or paving? And the two variances that were granted, the property owner Shiloh's and Fort Hopkins, those were both granted after they started work. I haven't done anything other than cover up a beam and doing some painting. according to the WIU archives, those windows were installed by my grandfather, who was born in 86 and died in 69. And the reason the stores of that era had tall windows and 15-foot ceilings was because they didn't have enough light. They had gas lights or they had no lights because they had no wiring because there wasn't any electricity. So they used the height to bring in, if you were on the south or the, you know, sunlight. We get no sunlight. It's all daylight, but no sunlight. So that was the reason, for the glass. But it's been taken out, superseded, broke. But supposedly, according to Kathy at the archives, that she said that glass was cut off and put in by my grandfather. She found a newspaper article in the Macomb Daily Journal. And the other thing, how many projects have been done in the historical district since it was enacted? 10, 20, 50? I don't know. I'm just curious. Other problems in the downtown, drainage on the south and the north side of the square is not provided. This was put in 86. It has never worked. You get out of your car, there's 5, 6, 7 inches of water. And then if it isn't water, it's in the winter, it's ice. The cars with front-wheel drive pull in. They can't back out. They're stuck. And it happens daily when it's frozen. I think the commission is valid, but I think it needs to have, if you have a historical commission for a certain area, I think it needs the property owners that own the property need to be on it. You know, if maybe all you people own property on a square, I don't think so, but I think that's a, you know, you've got a vested interest if you do that. I'm not pleased about this happening, but it, you know, I'm trying to comply with all the ordinances. This is the, what is, sixth meeting? Four commission meetings, and this is the second council meeting. And two council meetings. So this is six. Well, I can't. And if somebody's coming to Macomb or looking at it, this is not good. To me, it's a negative. It's hard enough to get business to look at the future and, you know, do different things. But I counted 21 businesses vacant either on the square or a block or two from the square.
I do have a question for you.
Yeah.
When these ordinances were established, I wasn't on the council, so I don't have a lot of history, but it was my understanding that downtown business owners had input at that time. Is that correct, or do you recall?
I was sent a letter.
And?
I didn't send it back. I wasn't for it.
Did you object?
No, and I didn't vote for it either. And many other, the people I've talked to, they didn't either. Several of them. You know, how many votes there are, how many yeses does it take to put it in? 50%? How many property owners? I don't know. The same thing happened in 86 with the paving. There were 87 property owners that paid a tax for 15 years of roughly $125 per building for 15 years. All there was 82 or 87, and 53 of the 87 presented a petition to the council objecting to it, and it was still put in. I still have the petitions. Jerry Purdom did part of it, and I did the rest of it. And they could sign it or not. But it was still enacted, and like I say, the drainage doesn't work.
Ed, could you tell us how many properties, if you know off the top of your head, are in the downtown TIF? Okay.
I think it's 100 parcels. 98 are at the time of the. But
All right. All right, thank you. Anything else tonight, Ron?
That's all I have.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else on the council? Alderman Henley.
I've got a couple questions for you. Ed, when this ordinance was passed, 2009, are we effectively saying we're froze right now, nothing can change as far as visual looks downtown? Is that what we said, practically speaking, by enacting this ordinance?
No. But we did say if you have something that's worth on your building, then you cannot. The ordinance says you can't alter something.
If you have something historical on your building, what's historical about his building other than his age? Okay. When you canvassed 98 owners, was not part and parcel of the discussion at the time that we can't, if you enact this, you can't force anybody to do this, a building owner? And somehow we've gone from this is a guideline to this is a regulation, and if you break it, it's a misdemeanor? Am I getting that wrong?
Part about not being forced, we couldn't force anybody to change. Like if they had something that was inappropriate.
We have a microphone set up. Please.
What the ordinance said is if you had something inappropriate in terms of historic guidelines, you didn't have to change it. You could leave it the way it was. But if you did change, then you had to do it in compliance with the historic guidelines. So, in other words, you can keep what you have, whether it's historic or not, but if you make a change, then it's supposed to be done in accordance with the historic guidelines.
Thank you. Alderman Dorsey.
And Ed, when this was passed in 2009 by this body, was it not a unanimous vote?
I don't remember. I think it was 7-0-8-0, but I don't remember for sure. Thank you.
And Ed, just for my clarification on Mr. Purdom's question, the guide is available in your office for anybody to look at as far as a historic preservation guide. Is that
the,
right?
The condensed handbook, yes. Okay.
Any further discussion?
Ed, would you give these to Mr. Purdom, please?
I have another question. Why, if I understood you right, Ed, you had 98 or so people you sent it to, but there were 140 properties. I thought it was 140. Oh, 117. But it didn't get sent to all of them?
No, we have a number of people.
That was my question. I own two, and somebody may own five or eight. That's one vote. Or one.
Yes. One property owner.
Because that same thing came up in 86, and they never did get an answer.
Okay, anyone else wish to speak? All right, hearing no further discussion, roll call, please.
The motion is to deny.
Hill. Excuse me?
The motion is to deny.
No.
Gilbert?
I'll vote to approve the building changes. That'd be a yes vote.
The motion was to deny the appeal.
For clarification, would
you clarify?
Sure.
This.
The motion is to deny the appeal. So, in other words, concur with the Historic Preservation Commission.
Okay, I would vote yes. I was a little confused.
Understood.
Okay. Gilbert?
No.
Cook?
Yes.
Dorsett?
Yes.
Lobdell?
Yes.
Hinderleiter?
No.
Wynn?
Yes.
Moon?
Yes.
Hansen?
No.
6-3.
Motion to concur with the Historic Preservation Commission is granted.